Before we get started, I'd like to invite you to join the LeadGen Lab, a sales program created specifically for women of color in the financial industry. Inside of the LeadGen Lab, we are going to teach you the sales and lead generation strategies you need to triple your sales calls and 10x your leads, so you can finally become that financial powerhouse. This is a six-month container where you will get access to trainings, resources, weekly group coaching, and a community of women of color in finance, and so much more. Go to theroshaw.com/lead-gen-lab or use the link in the show notes to join now. I can't wait to see you inside.
And one of my biggest motivators was that I really wanted to take what I had learned from working with the million-dollar corporations and apply that to small businesses in order to help them scale their company. And I felt like I could have a bigger impact on small businesses with doing things like that rather than a million-dollar corporation that already has what they need.
Welcome to the Finance Client Acquisition Podcast, the simple sales systems for women of color money experts. And I'm your host, Ro. I'm so excited today to dive deep into the strategies that have helped my clients book out by mastering their sales skills.
Hi, everyone. Today, I have an amazing guest, Asia from Stanton Financial Co. And I'm so excited to have her on. I'll let her go ahead and introduce herself. Asia, what do you do and who do you serve?
I am an accountant and CFO, and I'm the CEO of Stanton Financial Co., and currently, I serve influencers, content creators, and online service business owners that are in the industry.
Amazing. And tell us more about your current offers right now. Tell us how you decided on your offers and how your business is going.
Yeah, so my offers, I have a little interesting relationship with my offers. I have updated them and changed them probably like once every like 2 or 3 months since I've been in business. And I've just now like feel like I've gotten to a really good point where I really like my packages. They're secure. They're like high ticket offers and everything. So I really like them. And so my two main offers are for if you just want basic bookkeeping, we'll do your bookkeeping and you'll get a financial dashboard. And this package is just for the business owners that just want financial insight into their company, but don't really want any of the management or aren't really looking to scale. They just want the insight and then to just be prepared for tax season. And then we also have like an all-inclusive type package. So a done-for-you bookkeeping, tax, and CFO package, which is for the companies that are looking to scale and looking to grow and want that CFO guidance to help them do it fiscally smart.
Yeah. And I want to highlight something that you just said that I think a lot of financial industry experts struggle out there with is that deciding on your packages, right? How has that journey been? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs have been there where they're shifting their packages and deciding how to scale and really create that huge business that everyone dreams of. But how did you go from shifting from package to deciding, okay, this is what I'm going to offer and this is really what I'm going to put out to the world for my audience?
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of like the package changing had to do with mindset issues around pricing, really. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, what would be a good package. And then with mindset issues around pricing, but then also trying to serve everybody. So I wanted to start out with a really high ticket product or a high ticket service, but the clientele that I was getting at the time, they were a little bit like looking for lower ticket offers. So I would change my offers up and, you know, try to figure out something that would work for them rather than like staying true to myself and waiting for the right client to come to me. And so now I think I've kind of like found my niche. I found like the people that I want to serve. I've solidified my offers. I feel really good in them and I feel really good in my pricing and just confident around that. And so that really gave me what I needed to stick with the current prices and the offers that I have.
Let's highlight what you just said, because it's such a gold mine of what like trying to make everyone happy in your business, especially when you're providing financial services. And what I love about your business already is that you already know who your audience is, right? You said it right off the bat. There was no hesitation. You're like, I work with these people. What was your journey to actually finding your niche, right? Because I say a lot of times that if you don't have your niche, it's really hard to be confident in your offers, right? It's like hand in hand. How was that process throughout, you know, how long you've been in business to actually deciding on a niche and shifting that mindset? What was the game changer for you?
Yeah, well, I think one of the first steps, it wasn't like the total game changer, but like it definitely like opened a lot of opportunities for me. There was one person that I worked with, she was a friend and she was an influencer. And at this point, I really hadn't decided on a niche. I was just working with online service providers, just very broad, general. And I started to work with her and I realized that there was a really big gap in the market for these influencers and content creators because they're making money online. And of course, a lot of accountants that you work with, they're a little bit older, so they don't really understand how you make money online and how you can use these tax deductions to your advantage and things like that. So that's kind of how I realized that there was a gap in the market. And then I created a partnership with my friend to where she would promote me and then people would come my way through her YouTube channel and things like that. And so I received a lot of influencer clients like that because they were like, oh my God, I've been looking for an accountant that like knows how to do things for influencers and for content creators. So I think like finding my niche definitely opened the door for a lot of people to start to come to me and like know that, okay, Asia is the person that will help influencers and content creators with their bookkeeping and with their taxes.
And it's really interesting what you just said, because now you've solidified your place in the industry. There are very few, if any, other accountants and bookkeeping services that only focus on influencers. And now you're creating that place in the market to become the go-to. You're literally the industry leader for this niche. And there's no one else that's marketing specifically to that client, which is amazing, which means that your business can scale really fast. Tell us more how you got into this place, right? Even forming the partnership with your friend, because I tell clients all the time that your niche is actually your identity. It's the people that you're around. It's who you are. So a common mistake I see is that people go after niches that have no relation to them at all. And it's really interesting how it was happenstance, right? You had people in your community that were part of the influencing community. Tell us more about that journey, like how you had that light bulb moment. So like, yes, this is a huge market opportunity for my business.
Yeah, I think at this point, when I first started, I was really just trying to empower female entrepreneurs, especially women of color, with the knowledge and the guidance that they needed to be able to grow their business and reach financial security. Mm-hmm. And so working with that influencer, I could see like a lot of her issues was that she had a 9-to-5 and she was trying to figure out, you know, how could she quit that 9-to-5 and be able to financially support herself in the same way that she was with the 9-to-5, right? And so just talking to her, she would tell me all the time that number one, she was struggling with that, but she also knew so many other content creators that were struggling with that. And so that's really just how I got into realizing that there was a really big opportunity. However, I will say that I realized that relying only on referrals for growing your business, at some point, you run into a little bit of an issue because you're reliant on somebody else to bring in your clients. And so while it helped me a lot to get started and to get my name out there and to get referrals and to people talking about me, after a while, you know, you're reliant on this person and your income is really reliant on that. And so I really had to figure out how can I do some type of outreach to bring those clients to me and to be able to grow and to scale more quickly, to be able to have these high ticket offers and only work with, you know, maybe 10 to 20 clients rather than 100 at small ticket offers.
You're dropping gem after gem after gem. I just want to say that because everyone listening right now, it's a common problem in the financial industry to be reliant on referrals. Just like you said, it's like that feast or famine cycle. Yes, you have an influx, but then what happens when, you know, your network is only so big. So bringing in people that you don't know is the major goal for a lot of businesses, right? I'm really interested because you highlighted something about, you know, really focusing on another way to bring in leads. Let's talk about your results working together? Because I think a big shift for you was not relying anymore on referrals and then really taking almost a proactive way of generating your own leads. How has that process been going for you?
It's been going really, really good. And actually, I've been bringing in clients really fast. And so I've been able to scale at a really, really fast rate these last couple of months for the year. And so, you know, when you and I first started, it was just me doing everything. I had my brother helping me here and there, but, you know, it wasn't like I had a real team to help me with everything. Like I was still doing the content. I was still doing the bookkeeping. I was still doing like the onboarding and everything. But once I was able to, you know, start to bring in more clients on my own, then I was able to bring in the income to be able to bring in the help to scale more quickly. And so now, you know, I'm working with you, which is helping with lead gen. I now have a social media assistant that helps me be online and be engaged with people. I have a bookkeeper that helps me with bookkeeping. So I'm able to scale just at a much, much faster rate now that I'm not relying on the referrals and I'm being a lot more proactive with finding qualified clients and qualified leads to actually work with me.
Yeah. And I think everything that you're saying is, again, like I said, a goldmine, because you can't scale your business if you're not making sales, right? Like, how are you going to hire exactly what you said, being that one woman show,
right?
To actually growing a team. And how are you going to grow a team if you're not making sales? It's this vicious cycle. How did you know in your business that you needed to hire? Because I think this is a huge problem that people get stuck in, going from that one woman show to being like, okay, I need to outsource. I need someone else to do this because it's too much.
Yeah. So before you and I were working together, like I was super, super busy with client work and trying to be active on social media and trying to update backend systems and things. But, you know, I didn't really have the budget to scale. So the first thing that I did was I hired on my siblings. I hired on my brother to help me with some backend onboarding and my sister to help me with social media. And so that went well for, you know, as long as it can go with working with family. But then I realized, you know, that I needed to have somebody on more full time to work on it and to get the results that I really wanted. And so then around that time, that's when you actually reached out to me and we started working together for the lead outreach. And once we started working together, I signed maybe in the first 30 days, I signed two new clients. Mm-hmm. And so that was exactly what I needed to be able to bring on my first official person to help me with lead outreach and to really implement it in my business. And from that moment, it's just been like an exponential growth.
It opens up the floodgates, really, because I think everyone sees the highlight reel on Instagram or TikTok, right? Like, I have five people on my team, but to even hire those team members, like you said, you need a really strong sales system to create the sales so that you can keep outsourcing. And I see that a lot. Many people get stuck in the process of just hiring and then not actually making the sales. And every person on your team, this goes into, and it'll be really interesting to see where you are in a couple of months too, because you're growing at such a rate, but keeping it up, because there's only so much one person can do. And I think I love to highlight the fact of transitioning from working in with family to actually hiring specialists on your team, right? I've definitely been there as well. I've hired family. And I think it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs do. What was the mindset shift to be like, okay, I need to bring someone on full time? Was it really when the sales came in? How did you know that it was really time to transition your business with more specialist roles?
Honestly, when I brought on my brother and sister, I knew that it was time. I just didn't have the money to put forth. So that was just kind of like a solution until I had the funds to make it work. And of course, they were a tremendous help because I was able to put more time to getting those sales.
Yeah.
And so that helped me grow. But like, I knew that when I started the business, I didn't want to work 40 hours, 50 hours a week. I want to scale and build a team around me. So that's always been one of my goals since like the inception of the business, was to be able to scale this and create a team and provide, you know, employment opportunities for other people.
Yes. I love how you said that, because as you create a business, it's very front-loaded work when you start, right? You're doing everything yourself. And as you continue growing, you are able to shift that work onto others and work less and really it's not even working list. It's just freeing up brain space for your clients, right? Now you can think more.
I can.
Yeah. Tell me about that process, how freeing it's been to make the sales, know where they're coming from, hire the team. How has it freed up different parts of your life, even like mentally, physically? Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. The first that I would say is like mentally, like I have a lot of mental pressure in my head. I'm always like going from, and I don't think I mentioned this, but you know, I'm a finance person. So I still actually do have my 9 to 5 and that's provided me with, you know, a lot of financial stability and security to be able to invest in the business and grow it the way that I need to. But on the other side, you know, that's time and energy that I need to put forth and brain power for one job. And then on the other side, I'm still having to onboard clients. I'm still having to work on back-end systems and automations and make sure that contracts are signed, make sure that books are closed, make sure that taxes are done, just, you know, everything. And just having all of that in my head was a lot. And so since we've started working together, we've also began working on systems. And so it's still, you know, only our first month, but just having you automate and systemize the client delivery hub and the sales hub. Like, it's just amazing to be able to have a visual to see where everything is and how all the moving pieces are going in your business, and to have the automations on the back end set up so that you're not manually having to do it or remember it. It's just done.
Even the mental space of just checking, you know, Excel or a Google Doc to see where all your numbers are can be so draining, especially, and I'm really glad that you mentioned this on the show, that you also, you're working two businesses, right? Your 9 to 5 and your full-time business. I think a lot of people will call it side hustle, but it's not. It's literally another job. And if you, to transition, I think it's really great that you mentioned it, because I think there's this narrative online saying that like, you can quit your job in 90 days and, you know, go full-time in your business. And I think a lot of people that, a lot of guests that I'm bringing on have had that experience of like going from the 9 to 5 to transitioning into full-time in their business. And you're literally in that space right now, which is really cool for everyone to see, because, you know, a year or two from now, you'll be in a completely different place. So I'm really excited to see the transformation. And I really wanted to ask you how you even got into the financial industry, because I think everyone has a different origin story. And I would really love to hear yours about what inspired you to take this on.
Yeah. So my journey began working in finance back in 2018. And I worked in corporate America at a bank. And I was basically tasked with managing all the project financials for a vendor that we were working with to create automations for us. And my job was to not only ensure that we were staying within budget, but, you know, also finding variances in the financial data for what we were billed versus the work performed. And so in my first year doing that work, I was able to save my company over $8 million in overbilling and unsubstantiated charges. And so I was really happy about that. But, you know, after a while, I started to feel a little bit of burnout working in corporate America, going to the office every day. And so the pandemic happened. And so during the pandemic, like many of us, I just wanted to find something more to like occupy my time, to learn a new skill, to make more money, something other than sitting on the couch and eating. And so basically what I came up with was that, you know, I can learn how to prepare taxes. And so that's the first thing. That was like the initial phase of me starting my business. So I took a few courses and worked with a few coaches to really hone my skills. And then I officially opened for business in February of 2021 and went through my first tax season. And it went really, really good. And, you know, I had really good results. And then, you know, tax season ended in April. So at that point, you know, I was like, what can I do at this point? How can I still offer some type of assistance? And so that's when I transitioned to providing bookkeeping services. And one of my biggest motivators was that I really wanted to take what I had learned from working with the million-dollar corporations and apply that to small businesses in order to help them scale their company. And I felt like I could have a bigger impact on small businesses with doing things like that, rather than a million-dollar corporation that already has what they need.
I mean, like, just wow, the fact that you...
That was a lot.
No, I'm just inspired, because the fact that you were able to save, what, $8 million in corporate America and then have that skill set and be able to transition it into your own business, it's just a highlight of what you can really accomplish when you grow into that business, you know, and then you won't have to hire someone to save you $8 million because you knew you were going to do it already, right? That'll be your story. It'll be amazing. And I think it's really cool because, you know, so many people are able to do so much more and then they want to jump into the financial industry and you already have, you know, you're already the expert. You're basically just doing what you did in real life, you know, in corporate America online. And that's just a testament to your skills, which is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. There is something else that you mentioned, which is just talking about your tax season. I think a lot of accountants and bookkeepers that are listening to this could really relate to, you know, there being a really hot season from January to April to, you know, business, you know, going through a little bit of a slowdown period for the rest of the year and really opening up your bookkeeping service. How did that come about? Because it's a model that many CPAs have gone through. And then I've seen it personally scale up with the bookkeeping and the tax filing services. But how did you know, okay, I need to add something else to my repertoire? Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was because tax season was ending. Yeah. And for me, when it started, for tax season, I feel like getting clients, everybody has to file taxes. So yes. It's a lot easier because if they just see you online, they're like, oh, she's an accountant. I need my taxes filed. And so it's a lot easier to get the clients. But then after tax season, people aren't just coming to beg you to pay you to manage their books on a month-to-month basis until they actually need you for their taxes. Mm-hmm. So at that point, it's a little bit of convincing somebody and trying to tell them what the pros will be for working with a bookkeeper on a year-round basis or working with an accountant on a year-round basis. And so from that piece, once the client started to slow down, I figured, you know, if you want to keep making money, then you better find a way to get some more clients in here outside of tax season. And so, I mean, I feel like bookkeeping was just right up my alley because it's not technically what I do in corporate America, but it's very similar as far as the CFO portion and being able to take that financial data and manipulate it to create a financial picture.
I think what you highlighted is really important. The importance of creating recurring revenue in your business is essential. You know, with tax filing and, you know, those one-off services, it can be great and you can build that rapport with your clientele. But then to really stay in business and grow your business, you do need that monthly recurring revenue.
For sure.
And I think a lot of money coaches and financial experts get caught up in that, like offering one thing, but then not understanding that to have a very sustainable business so you can feed yourself down the line, it's great to have a service that continues on as your business grows. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was something that I noticed very early on. I was in a business coaching group and a lot of the people that I was in the group with, they weren't offering monthly recurring services. It was like a retainer for a project or something. And so the biggest thing that they were running into was how do I get new clients, 10 new clients or 5 new clients every month to sign on. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, that's not an issue that I want to have. So how can I avoid that? And so I guess you can say that's also partially how I ran into needing to offer or wanting to offer a recurring service, which was bookkeeping. And so, yeah, having that recurring income is amazing and really good in offering like that financial security to know this is exactly how much you're going to have for at least the next 30 days, you know,
yes.
You have this coming in.
And it's sustainable. It's very sustainable, mm-hmm. right? Just like you said, the other women in your mastermind, it's that it's hard to sign, not hard. You can sign 5 to 10 clients.
It was hard for me personally. It was hard for me to sign that many recurring new clients every month. I was like, I would be okay with signing 1 or 2 per month and they just want to continue working with me and I can grow the clientele over time. And that's what I've done. And it's been really, it's worked very well for me.
It's sustainable. It leads to less burnout. It's just a great business model for a lot of people to follow. And I think it's really important to highlight because I see a lot of times people launching one-off offers and it's very hard to stay in business that way. And the fact that you were able to see it right off the bat within a couple of months as opposed to a couple of years.
Yeah,
it's again, really a testament to who you are as a business owner. And I ask this question to everyone, all the guests. I would, you know, coming into business, especially in this competitive financial industry, it's not really competitive. You niche down. I will say that. But what would you say to any women that are thinking about going in, like jumping in? you know, like what advice would you give them? What game-changing advice? What has been, you know, a game changer for you shifting from starting your business to now scaling it? What's really helped you on your journey?
I would say the number one thing that helped me to get started was joining a business coaching group or the mastermind. And I say that because, you know, I come from graduating from business school,
right,
but I still had no idea really how to start a business or how to run a business or like what the initial steps were to starting it. And not even like the legal side, but like setting up a website, like setting up automation, having, you know, getting an email list, you know, the things that you don't really talk about in business school. You know, you learn a lot about corporate America and how to be an employee, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so working with my business coach, her name is Ari Hill. I absolutely love her. That just gave me what I needed to start the business, to solidify my offers, to figure out how to price everything. That just figuring out the beginning steps to what you need to do to start your business. As long as you know what you want to do, then I feel like that's the easy part. Like the hard part is actually figuring out how to open the business, how to offer the service, and how to get people in the doors.
Yes. Yes. I hear it all the time. It's just starting is the hardest. I mean, I can definitely relate, but starting is the hardest part for any business owner. I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I think a lot of that information is almost kept or swept under the rug. Everyone wants to be like, my amazing business, but it's really important to highlight the people who have helped you get to where you are. Right.
When I tell you I've spent so much money in coaches and advisors and help because they really do like working with other people that know how to get you to that exponential growth will help you achieve that in your business. And I've seen so much growth that I don't think that I would have achieved, honestly, without working with the people that I have worked with my business coach, with my tax coach, with you, Roma, like working with people, I would say. That's the biggest advice. Work with people, invest in people to work with you and to teach you and to help you.
But let's dive into that a little bit because I see this cycle of not wanting to invest in people or even, you know, a business coach like that mastermind that you talked about, not wanting to invest in that until you make sales, but you don't know how to make sales. So like, or even start your business. So you'll wait. And then, you know, it's like, it goes on and on. What was the biggest mindset shift for you? Because I think something that you do extremely well is that you're able to scale and you're able to do it really fast by hiring, you know, who you need when you need them and not jumping the gun. But what would you tell anyone that's kind of struggling right now with that mindset of like, I'll hire, I'll like invest in this person or this program when I make sales or when I have the money?
Two things I would say. Yeah. Number one, I would say if you have the money on hand, just invest it, like make the leap. Of course, do research. Don't just throw money at the problem, but, you know, do good research and then invest in somebody that you think will help you achieve the results that you need. And if you really just do not have the money, go get a job. Honestly, I'm so sorry, but like, that's really what gave me get a job. I'm sorry. just something to help you have a little bit of extra disposable income so that you can invest in yourself. You know, having a 9-to-5 is not terrible. That can help you. That can be a very smart financial decision to help you get to where you want to be. And if I didn't have my 9-to-5, I wouldn't have been able to invest the way that I do now. And technically, I could leave my 9-to-5 right now, but I love the financial security. I love the stability. I love knowing that I have consistently a check coming in and I'm making money for my business. So anything that I want to invest in, anything for my business is quite literally possible because I have the finances behind it to invest it.
Yeah. I mean, again, thank you for sharing that because like, there's this huge narrative in the entrepreneurial space that you need to be all or nothing. And you have really struck the balance of like, again, creating a business for yourself where you're not putting pressure, lots of mental pressure to make all of those sales. And I always tell people, it's never your client's job to pay your bill. You know, like you have to make sure that you're in the right space to serve your clients and then take care of yourself at the same time. And you've really done a great job with doing that. I mean, I can talk forever, but I think we've had so many gems here and such a gold mine of information. Tell everyone how they can find you, how they can follow your journey as you keep scaling, how people can work with you.
For sure. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, my username is _SFCO underscore, or you can go to my website at www.stantonfinancialco.com and you can book a call with me there.
Okay, amazing. And we'll link everything in the show notes. And thank you so much for being on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Roma. This has been great.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And as always, feel free to DM me on Instagram and subscribe to my email list for daily strategies delivered straight to your inbox. I'm so excited to see you book out and hit those 5-figure months, 6-figure years, and build that 7-figure empire.